This morning, I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will look at verses 12 through verses 19. Those of you that have your Bibles will find these words. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and you are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ, when he raised not up, if so be that he died, and he rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only, when we have hope in Christ, we are all most miserable men. Amen. I call your attention this morning to our theme: love is stronger than hate. On our Resurrection Sunday, love, you may be seated, love is stronger than hate. Growing up in Alabama, certain things happened to me, and my mother would always tell me that as Christians, we are not to hate. I didn't know when I signed up for this team not to hate. I guess it was when I got baptized. When I was young, about 14 or 15, I got my first job working as a busboy at Dale's Penthouse, very famous restaurant in Montgomery. And one night coming home from work at about 9:30, I had to go catch the South Jackson bus. And I had to go stand on Dexter Avenue to catch the bus, South Jackson. And as I was standing there about 9:30 p.m. waiting on the bus on Dexter Avenue, I looked around and I happened to be the only person on the street. Then all of a sudden, a car come flying down the street and some young boys of a different race hollered out the window, not my name, so I didn't have to answer to it, but they hollered something out the window. And then they happened to throw a brick and break out this big old picture window in Zell's Jewelry. So I remember that my daddy said, if you haven't done anything, don't run. So I just stood there, and the police came from everywhere within 5 minutes. And I explained to them what happened. And of course, they had to call my job to see was I telling the truth. But, you know, I went home and told my mother about this, and then she come again with this thing about how we are not to hate. And I just was wondering, when did I sign up for this not to hate club? You know, so one other situation in my life that I'm still struggling with to this very day. My parents had a little grocery store in Montgomery, and every time we would run out of stuff, there was another man that had a much larger grocery store around the corner, a Mr. Luke Farmer. Luke Farmer was also a man of another race. But happened, and when all of the marches got going on in Montgomery, we noticed that one day we were marching, and there was some Ku Klux Klans come down the street on some big white horses. And one of my friends that jumped up there and grabbed one of the horsemen's hood off his head. And guess what? It happened to be Luke Farmer. So now, wait a minute, because see, Luke Farmer was my friend. You know, I would go around there and talk to him at the store, and whenever we were short of stuff, he would let us have it, and he knew my parents. He had been in our home. He had been in our store drinking pop with us, and I struggled with this thing, and then all of a sudden, all my friends wanted to go to burn his store down, but my mother told me that I couldn't go. I didn't want to go anyway. I couldn't go, but she said, because we are not supposed to hate. We are bigger than hate. She said, you are not supposed to hate, so you can't go down there and do that to that man's store. So, as I struggle with this Resurrection Sunday, to help us to understand that what was accomplished when Jesus got up out of that grave to help us to understand that love is always stronger than hate. But when we look at our lesson text, why did Paul regard the resurrection of Jesus so essential to our faith? Why is this resurrection day the high watermark of Christian service? Why is Easter Sunday such an important thing when we go to worship? Today I would teach that the resurrection proves that love is stronger than hate. Yes. Jesus was the love of God incarnated. We will use 2 points this morning. The first one will be the basis of our preaching, verses 12 through verse 15. And my next point would be the basis of our salvation, and that comes from verses 16 through 19. There was a misunderstanding in the church of Corinth. There were some people that had come up with the conclusion that a dead man shall not rise again. And so now Paul is writing here to help them to understand some things, because if dead people don't rise, then there is something significantly difficult about our faith. Because if our faith is centered around the resurrection and dead folks don't get up and walk, then we got a problem with being Christian. Am I right about it? Paul answer to them, it is meant that Jesus Christ had not risen. So if he said that the dead don't rise, then he said then Christ has not risen. Then if Christ has not risen, then we no have a future hope. And then if Christ has not risen, our Christian faith is in jeopardy. Am I right about it? Yeah. Christians will not participate in the future blessings of Christ. If Christ has not risen, then we cannot look for the second coming. We have no future hope. And that's what it says in that 12th verse. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? Paul took the time to point out that this is a very significant problem with some believers in Corinth. And in verse 13, he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is still in the tomb. If Christ is still in the tomb, if there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, the logical conclusion is that Christ is still in the tomb. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then those ladies, Mary, Joanne, and Mary, the mother of James, those ladies that ran and went down to the tomb on Easter morning to continue to anoint Jesus' body, the thing that the two men told them when they were at the tomb, when he told them, why are you looking for the living among the dead, all of that. And then he told the women to go back and tell the disciples that Jesus had come out of the tomb and that Jesus was alive. All that stuff. All that stuff that was told to them in the scripture, then it won't be true. If the dead don't get up, if dead men don't get up and walk, all that was said is not true. The Son of Man must be delivered. And then Jesus told the disciples three times. He told them three times in Matthew, but they still didn't get it. He told them three times that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day. And when the ladies went and told the disciples, when they had the foot race, when they ran and told them, they didn't believe them. They said, oh, that's just an idle tale. Well, then, if Jesus is not risen, then those disciples are correct. Then those disciples are correct. That's just an idle tale. If Jesus is not risen, if there's no resurrection, then that is just an idle tale. And then in verse 14 it says, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. our faith is also in vain. If Christ is not risen, then we can just go home, Reverend Smith. Ain't no point in preaching the gospel. If Christ is not risen, then the gospel is the good news. If Christ is not risen, then there is no good news of the gospel. The gospel is the good news, news that is too good to be true. But if he's still in the grave, if he's still dead, there is no good news of the gospel. If Christ is not risen, then what we hear in Romans chapter 10, it says the word is nigh thee, just as close as your own mouth. And it said that what brings us faith is the words that we preach. The words that we preach will not lead you to faith if Jesus is still in the grave. How shall they hear without a preacher? They will not be able to hear. There will be no good news of the gospel if Jesus is still in the tomb. There won't be any good news of the gospel. You won't have any good news. All you can listen to is CNN and MSNBC all day. There won't be no good news of the gospel every now and then, because I have to turn that stuff off and get the word of God, because I know God has some good news. But if he's still in the grave, there is no good news. If he's still in the grave, then you cannot overcome your addiction. If there's no good news, then your marriage has no possibility of being put back together. If there is no good news, you will not be able to gain a job when the world say you can't have one. Yeah. If there is no good news, and verse 15 and says, yea, and we are found witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised Christ from the dead. The witnesses of God were the apostles. The apostles was the one that witnessed the risen Lord. Then if there's no good news, there is no apostles, there is no foundation of the church. If there's no good news, the apostles have not witnessed the risen Lord. If there is no good news, the apostles were not commissioned by Christ himself, by the risen Lord himself. If there's no good news, then Christ could not have given the apostles the ability to write the New Testament. Every book in the New Testament is written by an apostle. That was their job. But if there's no good news, then the New Testament was not inspired by men of God if there's no good news. So we look at, based on our salvation, and my second point, which comes up to verse 16, which it says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ not raised. And they're repeating what we're saying here, but also I like it in that 18th verse and going on down where it says, and they also which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Those Christians that are gone to sleep, they have perished. But I thank God for John 3:16. I thank God that we don't have to perish. God gave his only son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I looked at verse 19 and it says, and if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Hallelujah. Every time I look at Romans 6 verse 23 and it says to me that the wages of sin, those that sin, your wages is going to be death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. See, the word sets you free. It's the truth that's going to set you free. But if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. Why did Paul regard the belief in the resurrection of Jesus as so essential? Let me just point some things out to you. Wake up and write it down. The resurrection proves that truth is stronger than falsehood. You see, the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. But see, the resurrection proves that he's a liar. The resurrection proves that truth is stronger than any lie that the devil can tell you. I don't care what they call you. If they don't call you a child of God, you don't have to answer to. I just want you to know that the truth of God will set you free. But on Calvary's cross, it proved that truth is stronger than a lie. The resurrection proved that good is stronger than evil. I don't care how evil people have been to you. I don't care how many backstabbers have hurt you. And let me park right here and let you know that a backstabber, hold it for a minute, backstabber. Put your dagger down for a minute. See, a backstabber is somebody that's close to you. They can't stab you in your back unless they're close to me. Come up here, Herbie. Let me show them something. See, I can't stab Herbie in his back. Turn around, Herbie. Unless I'm close to him. I have to know his secrets. I have to talk to him on the phone a long time. I have to know something about him in order for me to stab him in his back. I can't stab him in his back from back there. Sit down, Herbie. Backstabber! Put your dagger down for a minute. I just want you to know that God's word will cause you to set folks free. Stop stabbing people in your back. I just want you to know good is better than evil. I don't care how bad people have been to you. You do good is better. That's what my mama was telling me. If you're a child of God and you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you have to be able to do the good that will overcome the evil. But the main thing, which my center around my theme, is that the resurrection proves that love overcomes hatred. Yes. Love overcomes hatred. When Jesus was put on that cross, he was put on there because people hated him. He was put on that cross because they wanted to stop his ministry. He was put on that cross because they wanted to hurt him. But Jesus said, give me all you got while I hang on Calvary's cross. He said, throw those 39 licks on me. Put me up there from the 6th to the 9th hour. Drain my body half of blood and put me on Golgotha Hill and let me hang there. I'm just going to borrow Joseph Arimathea's grave for 3 days because I would only need it for the weekend. But on Easter morning, he got up and said, all power of heaven and earth is in my hand. All that evil, all those lies you told on me, all them names that you call me, I've proved that you had nothing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I just want you to know that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I just want you to understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even the tongues that rise up against me in judgment shall be condemned. I don't care what you go through. God says, Shannon, no weapon. I don't care what the weapon is. Nothing that they bring against you is going to be able to stand up against you in judgment. I don't care what you've been through. You take a $5 bill and you take it in your hand and you ball it up and you step on it. And you step on it, and you beat it up, and you beat it all up, Sister Mo. And but then again, you take a $5 bill after you beat it up, and after you tore it up, and did everything to you, and you hold it back up, and it's still legal tender. It still can be spent. Go down there on Michigan Avenue and spend that, Sister Mo. It's still good. Still good. God is saying, Shannon, I don't care what the world has been, how bad the world has been on you, I can pick you up. I can take you out of the muck and the mire, and I can let you know that I can restore you. I can remake you. I can do everything that the world has tried to hurt you, because love overcomes evil. Everything that's out there that's evil, God say, I can overcome it. With the love of God, he can overcome everything that's up against you, everything that you may be up against. God say, I got your back. Yes. All you have to do is to believe that Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead. And I also want you to know that there is no condemnation. Yes. no condemnation in them that love Jesus in that resurrection. Prove that God's grace, by grace you are saved, but not by your faith. I don't care what you're going through. God wants you to know, because he lives, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I don't care what you're up against. He lives, and because he lives in you. He don't live in this building. He lives in you, and because he lives in you, you can overcome evil with good. You can overcome bad things. You can overcome hatred with love, because he lives. The resurrection proves that love is stronger than hate. The resurrection proves all of these things. Are you out there this morning? You don't have to be hating. When Jesus was on Calvary's cross, the first thing he spoke with the seven last words, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I just want you to know this morning that you can forgive your enemies. Because of the resurrection Sunday, you can forgive all of the people that have hurt you. Oh, I know you got a right to hate them, and I know you got a good reason for hating them, and I know you want to hate them, but I just stopped by here to let you know that you have the ability to release. See, forgiveness is when you release the punishment that you would give to other people. Yeah. Forgiveness and forgetting are two different things. You can't forget it. But now, just because you forgive them, you don't have to restore them. Now, if you don't understand that, call me back during the week, and I'll lay that out to you, okay? You have to forgive. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." On Calvary's cross, when he got up out of that grave, and he said, "I have all power. I have power to forgive. I have power to love the unlovable. I have power to heal the sick. I have power to order things, to see things that are not as if they were. I have the power to live a life. I have a power to walk the water. Let me tell you something about walking that water. See, when you walk that water in life, there are some things that people tell you that you can't do. But when you're walking that water and keep your eyes on Christ, them jobs they say you couldn't have, hallelujah, you can get them. When we looked around Dubai Church, they say there's no more. My realtor told me, say, there's no more land in Glen Ellen for a church. You're going to have to go way up to Calvary. I said, listen, I prayed to Almighty God. Came over here, 3.7 acres and 15,000 square feet of property. Hallelujah. But not only that, when the realtor was telling me this, I had the key to this church in my pocket. I just want you to know that God is a way maker out of no way. You just have to trust in God. Do you trust in him? You just have to trust in God. Do you love him? Do you love him this morning? He overcome every hatred. I don't hate the boys that threw that brick at me in Montgomery. No, I don't hate him. I love him. I don't hate Luke Farmer. I just wish I could talk to him to find out why you got that sheet on. He was my friend. I've never been able to sit down with him and have a conversation with him. Why did you hate me? Are you out there? Oh, that was a counseling in me when I was a little boy. I wanted to talk to Luke Farmer. Do anybody know where he is? God is calling you this morning. Because of what happened on Calvary, you can have victory in your life. Because of what's on Calvary, I don't care what your credit score is, you can still get the house. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't care whether or not you studied for the test, you can still pass the course. Are you out there this morning? I'm talking about God. I'm talking about trusting God. Young ladies, don't believe all them statistics they tell you that there ain't no more good men out there to marry. You trust God. And then let me just back up and meddle a minute. You see, in the garden, God put Adam to sleep and made him a wife. Eve didn't have to look for Adam, and Adam didn't have to. God made her, and he presented her to Adam. What God has for you, he's going to present it to you. You don't have to go on single mingle or what, all that stuff. Forget that stuff. Trust in God. He will give you everything you need according to his riches and his glory. I didn't mean to go mingling. I know you got single mingle. What is it, Sister Mo? Christian mingle. What is it? She don't know. Whatever it is. Christian mingle, yeah. Y'all let that stuff alone. Ain't no telling who you'll pick up out there. Y'all know I'm right. You better get somebody God sent you. If God didn't send him, look out. God is calling you this morning. Love is stronger than hatred. Good is stronger than evil. Truth is stronger than a lie. That's what happened on Calvary. Everything that happened in the Bible is true. When the angels said, why are you looking for the living here and amongst the dead? You know, that was true. What those women told those disciples was true. Yeah. All the stuff that we see in the Bible is true because God said it and I believe it and that's it. Yeah. A dead man one day got up and walked. And I believe it.